Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today is a great day to be a Tiger. JSU by 40 campaign. Coach Taylor, I was just thinking, I was sitting in my office and we were talking about Jackson State Athletics, the tradition of Jackson State. You played here. What if 50,000 alums gave $40 a month for 12 months?
Man, that would be huge. That's money in the bank for athletic program.
Let's do this, Coach. I'm challenging all 50,000 alumni of Jackson State University, supporters, fans. Let's give $40 a month to JSU by 40 campaign. 12 months, 12 million, September to August. Let's win championships in the classroom. Let's support Jackson State University. Let's support athletics. And let's make sure our coaches and our student athletes are successful. So again, Coach Taylor and I are challenging you, all 50,000 alums, $40 a month for 12 months to support Jackson State athletics. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Support the JSU by 40 campaign. Visit gojsutigers.com/JSU by 40.
Tiger fans, welcome to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. I am the Corey C. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you do not miss out on an upcoming episode. You can find us on YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, the Google Podcast app, Spotify, you name it, wherever you get your podcast. So be sure to follow the show and tell every Tiger that you know. And remember, when you support Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, it all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. All right, the last of the major sports pro leagues kicks off this week, and Bet Online is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL and college football, and NHL in full swing, Bet Online is your number one source for wagering, news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. So head on over to Bet Online today to get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And joining me to talk about the upcoming matchup with the UAPB Golden Lions, he is a sports reporter for the Pine Bluff Commercial, none other than Tanner Spearman. Welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. So how's everything going with you? Everything going okay?
Doing good. Just trying to make it through another season.
No doubt. The season comes and goes before you know it. I know we wait all off season for football, and when it finally gets here, it's almost over just like that. But we're still in the thick of things and have a big matchup, of course, this weekend, cross-conference matchup with Jackson State and UAPB. So let's talk about this team. 1-6 on the season, unfortunately, winless in the conference at 0-4. And the last three games, it looks like those three games have gotten away from the team a little bit. So it's been a bit of a tough go for the Golden Lions this season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's the first year with a new coach, a first year of a rebuilding process. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of growing pains, and they've certainly suffered through a lot of those. They've been in a lot of the games, and sometimes, you know, one or two things goes wrong, and it just gets away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You talked about obviously being under a first-year coach, Coach Alonzo Hampton. He's an Arkansas native, and he actually spent five seasons on the UAPB staff. This was back from 06 to 2010. Of course, he took over for Doc Gamble. So talk about the program's transition and perhaps the culture that he's looking to instill.
Well, you know, one of the first things I heard from him was how he wants to do things the right way. He wants kids who are going to be in class, be getting good grades, and be a good example to the community. So it's sure he wants to win, and that's what everyone's judged by in this in this business, but he wants to make sure that he's got the right kind of character kids in the program, as well as having good football players.
Mm-hmm. And so if you look at this UAPB offense, it's really struggled this season, averaging just under 13 points a game, which is good for 12th in the conference. So let's start with that quarterback situation. Seems to be a little bit of a carousel back there. So talk about that unit. And is there anyone who's considered to be the clear-cut guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a whole thing. Coming into the season, it was kind of a battle between Jalen Maken and Mekhi Hagins. The word on him was that Hagins was the better runner and Maken was more of the pocket passer. But then, you know, Maken was certainly – his passing was much better than Hagins, and then he showed he could run the ball as well, so they turned to him. We thought he was the guy. And then the Southern game was a shutout. And then they scored 3 points – in the first half against Mississippi Valley State with him. And so they made a change to Chancellor Edwards, who hadn't played all year, but first touchdown, first pass of the season against Valley was a touchdown. And then his second pass of the season was a pick six. So, wow. You know, he got the game last week against Alcorn, and they're just still trying to figure out, you know, who's going to give them the best chance to win. And right now they just really haven't been able to find a clear cut answer to that question just yet.
Wow. Yeah, the offense is only averaging 176 per game through the air. And on the ground, a bit of a struggle as well, averaging 132. And that's ninth in the conference. But that's despite several guys having a healthy yards per carry average. So talk about that backfield and who are the guys to look out for?
Yeah, so, I mean, early on, first couple games, Jonas Davis did a really good job. He was one of the best rushers in the SWAC a couple games in the season. And then he got kind of banged up and he missed the Alabama A&M game, I think, played two snaps against Southern. They thought he could go, and then he wasn't able to. And he just really hasn't been the same since. He's starting to come back and play more each week, but they're still just trying to find, you know, that consistency to get back to where they were first couple games with him. You know, Michael Jamerson got banged up against Southern. He came back, played a few snaps last week. B.J. Curry, a freshman, had a he had a great game against Miles College when Davis was banged up, but we haven't seen that from him since. So again, it's just finding that consistency and being able to do what they did to start the season every week and to do it for four quarters. And that's the problem that they've been trying to solve right now.
And when you see a team struggling passing the football and running the football, it's kind of easy to look at the offensive line. That unit has given up 26 sacks on the season. So has that been a big cause for concern for the team?
Yeah, I think so, especially because coming in, you know, I thought that was going to be one of the strengths of the team because they had three or four returning starters at the offensive line. So I thought this should be where they live or die. And, you know, it just hasn't really played out that way. So, you know, the thing about a quarterback and a running back, you know, if the offensive line isn't protecting the quarterback, isn't making holes for the running back, it doesn't matter how good you are. It's going to be tough to play pretty well when you don't get that good line play that you're hoping to get.
Right. And when you see a team struggling offensively, you want to make sure that obviously there's some guys out there who can step up and be that leader. In your opinion, has anyone seemed to step up as the leader of the team on offense, whether it be vocally or even by their play?
I mean, it's hard to do that, especially when, again, you've got a carousel of quarterbacks. You know, usually you look to the quarterback to be that leader, but when it's three different guys that have been in, it's hard to pinpoint one guy who's going to step up and lead the team. So that's another challenge that they have is who's going to take ownership of the team, who's going to be that vocal leader. And, you know, I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know what it's like there, but on the field, again, if you can't have consistently one guy leading the way, it's hard to find leadership.
Right. Yeah. I know it's always a challenge when you bring in a new coach for any program. I mean, we're in a similar situation, obviously a lot of attrition, a lot of players left, and Coach TC had to pretty much overhaul the roster. So with Coach Hampton, is the roster mostly consisting of players from last season, or when he got here in December of 22, did he have to revamp that roster as well and hit that portal and even go into the high schools?
Yeah, you know, there were some guys that left. Obviously, Kayvon Britton was a big loss off last year's team, who transferred out to Tarleton State. So Michael Jamerson is a transfer in from Campbell. He's one that they talked a lot about in the preseason, and, you know, we've seen him a little bit at running back, you know, but, you know, that's – they didn't really have much of a recruiting class as far as high schools go, which, again, you're bringing a new coach especially with early recruiting periods now, it's really hard to get much of a high school class together when you make a coaching change like that. So, you know, and especially when it's an outside coach coming in, you know, Jack the State being able to just elevate DC Taylor, I'm sure that was a big help for them. When you're bringing in someone from the outside, UAPB did, it's a lot harder to keep a high school class together. So they only signed, I think, like five kids out of high schools this past offseason, but You would hope that this coming season that they'll have a much bigger class and be able to start to finally get more of, you know, Hampton's guys in here. But one guy I will say, BJ Curry, the freshman running back, is a Hampton guy that he brought in when, you know, last year Hampton was associate head coach over at UL Monroe, and he was recruiting Curry then. So when he came over to UAPB, he brought Curry with him. So that's one guy in particular that is definitely a Hampton guy. But I'm sure he's hoping to get more Hampton guys in this coming recruiting class.
Absolutely.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And when we look over to the defensive side of the ball, UAPB is ranked 12th in the conference, giving up 460 yards and 31 points per game. So what are you seeing on the team from a defensive standpoint?
Well, you know, and Coach Hampton talks about this all the time. There are stretches of play where they'll do good things. You know, coming into last week's game against Alcorn, Hampton talked about how Alcorn, up to that point, he said was the best offense that they had played. You know, and that includes playing Tulsa, an FBS team. And so he spoke very highly of Alcorn. And then at halftime, if not for a fumble by the offense in their own territory, it would have been 14-7. They would have held a really good offense to 2 touchdowns for a half of football. So they've had stretches where they've played well. Alabama A&M, they only had 10 points at halftime against UAPB because the defense played well. But then in the second half, you know, things got out of hand. So they have stretches where they play well, and then they'll have a play where one guy's out of position or one guy doesn't, you know, play his gap correctly, and then a big play happens, and then it all, you know, it all blows up. So it's they've had some good moments, but it's being able to play that way for 4 full quarters that's kind of been the problem that they've had, is that consistency that they're looking for.
And the struggles on defense, you could attribute that to the loss of a couple of players, at least two that I'm aware of on defense at the beginning of the season, either prior or early on in the season. Defensive lineman Anas Lukman and Rocky Jack as well. So how big of a blow was that to the team?
Well, I'll tell you what, Anas Lukman in particular, that's the guy that for defense that Hampton brought to Media Day in Birmingham back in July. So you knew right away, this is a guy that he has a lot of faith in. And Hampton has said a couple of times he believes Lukman is their best defensive player, and he hasn't played since week two. And, you know, he had 4.5 sacks through their first 2 games against Tulsa and Tennessee State. So that's a huge loss and probably a leadership loss as well. I'm sure he might still be in the locker room leading, but it's hard to lead from the sideline when you're out, when you've got players out on the field. So, you know, that in particular is one that definitely hurts to not have him out there.
One bright spot on defense has been the play of the preseason second team all-swag linebacker Rico Dozier. He's the team's leading tackler with 83 stops, and he's been as good as advertised, but there's also guys like Ron Woods and Khalil Arnold. They've stood out, as well as some other guys. Talk about those guys and some other key players who you may be counting on defensively.
Yeah, well, Rico, I mean, you said he's the team's leading tackler. He's the second leading tackler in the entire conference. And I think for a while he was the leader of the entire conference. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that we knew coming in he was going to be a big part of that defense, and it's definitely been that way up to this point. You know, I think you mentioned Khalil Arnold, who had some good games earlier, especially against Miles College when Lukman was out. So, you know, Mark Fleming's been another guy on the defensive line that, due to the injuries, has had to step up, and he's done some good things. So, you know, they've had several guys that have been able to step up individually. It's putting it all together that's been the problem.
And speaking of putting it all together, you know, we talked about the team's struggles, but what they do well in their lone win of the season, or better yet, when they've had success within any particular game. Like last week, you talked about being down only 14-7 in the first half of that game with 2 minutes to go. And I think you said Alabama A&M, a 10-0 game or 10-7 game, something like that. So during those stretches where they've played well, of course, they haven't been able to sustain that. But what are they doing during those stretches?
Well, you think about Miles College in particular, right? At the end of the Tennessee State game, which was the week prior, you know, they came into the fourth quarter down 14-0. They scored all of a sudden out of nowhere. They scored 2 touchdowns on back-to-back drives. I think there was a 99-yard drive in there or something like that. And they were in the red zone again with a chance to tie or take the lead. And they just couldn't finish that comeback. Well, they took that momentum into Miles College, scored 2 touchdowns in their first 2 drives. So they have those stretches where the plays are working, the running backs are breaking loose, a receiver's getting open. They just can't do it the whole game. So, You know, they'll have drives where and stretches where they might score two touchdowns in two drives or two touchdowns in three drives, and then they go three and out, three and out, three and out. Whether it's because, you know, the pass was just off target, off the receiver's hands, or, you know, running back got tripped up right before he got to the line to gain, just something, little things go wrong, and it kind of derails the whole momentum. And defensively, you know, against Alabama A&M, UAPB led at halftime. I think it was 14-10 or something. And then they were doing so well on defense, so well on defense. And then right before the end of the third quarter, Alabama A&M finally is kind of, you know, the dam bursts, and Alabama A&M gets a touchdown. Next drive, they get a touchdown. Next drive, they get a touchdown. So they'll do things. They'll get sacks, or at least early in the season they did, when they had Luke Mon or some other guys stepping up. And they kind of really haven't had a whole lot of that. They had a lot of turnovers. Miles College in particular had a couple of big turnovers that really helped them there. But they've kind of lost some of those things in the recent weeks. So that's something that they need to get back to.
Yeah. And what can we expect from a fan support aspect this upcoming Saturday? I know a lot of times when there's a transition, and, you know, fans can be impatient. We know all too well at Jackson State, but obviously UAPB coming off a homecoming, and then of course Jackson State travels, typically a big game for most WAC teams when Jackson State comes to town. But can we expect that fan base to really be in the house?
Well, they certainly were last week for homecoming. It was over 13,000 fans in the stand, one of the biggest crowds they've had in a long time. The question is, when it's not homecoming, are they going to come back? And that's what Coach Hampton talked about after the game. He said, you know, that was a great crowd. We want to have that crowd every week. And so I think he's putting some of that on himself to give them a product on the field that makes them want to come back every week. So obviously, like you said, Jackson State's always a big game to have that team on across from you. So we'll see if the excitement of JSU being in town will bring the fans out. But at the same time, when you're struggling to win games, sometimes the fans aren't gonna bother. So we'll see what the crowd looks like. I know Hampton's hoping for a good one, though.
No doubt. Well, we are looking forward to it. It'll be a family reunion of sorts. There's a couple former UAPB Golden Lions on the Jackson State team. There's linebacker Isaac Peppers and defensive end Ethan Smith. Both those guys have had some huge moments for us this season. There's UAPB freshman kicker Trey Glipp. He was on JSU's radar in the recruiting season pretty heavily, and I think he was almost a Tiger at one point. And, of course, there's Coach Mo Harris, who was our offense coordinator. Coach Hampton mentioned that he went after him to be his offense coordinator. And then Coach Jonathan Bradley, our defensive coordinator, he's been on the UAPB staff as recently as a couple seasons ago. So, again, a family reunion should be a great game, great atmosphere. Saturday, 2 p.m., hoping the rain holds off. We'll have some great weather, but it'll also be on ESPN+. So, to all the Jackson State fans, safe travels. And to the UAPB fans, we definitely want to see you in the house to make for an awesome atmosphere. Any final words, Tanner?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'll say is obviously this year hasn't gone the way that UAPB wants it to go, but you listen to Coach Hampton talks, and he's frustrated, but he's also very optimistic. And he says every single week, he says, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And, you know, he wants to build a program that Pine Bluff can be proud of, to be he's used the phrase a lighthouse for the community. And you can tell he's energetic. He's passionate. He wants to win. And he's optimistic that maybe not this year, but they're going to get there. So we'll see if he can deliver on those promises.
Absolutely. All right. Well, again, thank you for your time, Tanner Spearman. We appreciate you, and all the best to you as well.
Awesome. Thank you again for having me.
All right. You bet. Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.